Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com.
Ford in motion. Winston, under pressure, gonna run it into the end zone.
Whoa.
It was a fun game last night.
Al Michaels.
He was having fun.
See, I think
maybe
he's just kind of out of the zone of having like a good Thursday night football game. So when one happens, he's like, oh.
I almost never know if anyone's having like a good game when it comes to on the call. I usually listen to games like very low volume. Because I'm usually having conversations with other people. Like if I'm watching college, I'm usually talking with people. So right. I keep the game low, and I'll only turn it up if it's like, what's going on? There's a flag. There's something going on.
Except for Texas games, right?
Nope. Texas games are usually on mute.
Really?
Mm-hmm. What do you listen to?
Myself screaming.
Oh.
What else do you think? This is real quick on this. I don't like watching Texas games with other people.
Wait, is this all sports? Or just football?
Most sports, yeah.
So you do this for hockey, too?
Yeah, usually it's just low. It's not like Texas game is usually on mute or low. Most of them are just like, I'm usually talking with other people, so it's just lower so the conversation can be heard. They typically don't say anything interesting anyways.
You're telling me when RJ was calling games, you had it on low?
No, that's different. I mean, RJ's fun. That was cool. But again, a lot of times it was also low. I'm having conversations. Unless what happened? Are they challenging? All right, let's turn this up real quick.
All right.
It's usually about it.
I hope you don't do that when you do Bill's game day.
Well, no, because I'm working.
No,
it's different.
I know.
Working.
I'm just kidding.
But it's usually a lot of it. I will see people on Twitter being like, Al's really hating this game. And I'm like, is he?
He is.
And I feel bad on it, but I'm like, oh, man, maybe I should turn this up. Like, what's he
saying?
There was
a really funny moment last night. Apparently, somewhere in the Browns stadium, there's an area where fans can hit this piece of metal.
Let's go.
And you could very clearly hear it on the broadcast, and it was annoying. And Al Michaels, like, the camera found the guy, and Al Michaels is like, and if you can't get over that strange, annoying noise we've been hearing, there's the source of it.
There's the source.
And it's like, you know what? That's good for you. Call that guy out, because that's really annoying.
I'm thinking about it, too. So Brady's first few games I made sure to listen to.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to know how he was doing.
He's been doing good.
I think he's fine.
Like, he's getting better, I should say.
He's not going to frustrate me
but
to no
think
end.
But think about when players come into this sort of stuff. It takes them time to get going.
On that, I listened to Colt McCoy's first game that he called in college. Wish I hadn't. Mm, okay. Wish I hadn't.
Oh.
Wasn't good. I mean, he's honest about it too afterwards that I'm now learning this essentially on the fly,
mm-hmm.
and just millions of people are going to listen to me kind of screw up to start. And then Gus Johnson games at college.
Oh.
In all seriousness, any
Gus Johnson game.
I will typically have those up and then Kevin Harlan games during March Madness.
Yep. Kevin Harlan. So good.
It's really about it. It's really outside of that, everything's kind of lower. I'm again typically talking to people or I'm out if I'm watching games and if I'm at a bar.
Mike Breen.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Bang.
Yeah. I mean, I like those calls. I'll just get the highlight afterwards on Twitter.
No, you're right.
That's the
all
worst
right.
part. I'll all get right. the highlight afterwards on Twitter, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, there it is.
I just can't imagine sitting in silence for my favorite team's game. It's just crazy.
Yeah, you haven't watched a Texas game with me. There's a specific reason for that.
Did you just talk to yourself?
No, it's just a lot of stress, anxiety, angst.
I feel like you are one of those fans that will literally just watch the entire game standing like really close to the TV.
Oh, like the hands on the hips.
Yeah. Or your arms are crossed.
I sometimes do that
with Bills games, but only when it's like close.
No, that's about right. I pace a lot. I was kind of worried going to Austin, how am I going to handle this? Really nice that they
walk
went up
in place.
Early.
Oh, I was going to say,
really nice that it wasn't
stressful.
You're just going
to be running
away.
A marathon in your seat, just pumping the feet.
But I'll be walking around the house pacing. Last year's Big 12 championship game, I specifically went and got lunch. like an hour before the game so that I would be like kind of like wasting time just sort of getting there and giving my girlfriend kind of like the rundown of like, hey, you know, please love me after this.
Please.
This
please,
is not
Please don't think I'm a crazy person.
Yeah, just, please.
I remember that was the same. I mean, this was different because it was a live sporting. Like we went to the Sabres game, but the first time, this was a few years ago now, but the first time my girlfriend came to a Sabres game with me, I don't think she was ready. Like I was getting into it. I was yelling. Yeah. I yelled at the refs.
Sometimes you have
to
give the speech.
I'm one of those fans where like I'll get into it. Like I'll go into the game and I'll be like, it's whatever.
It's been easier.
And then
for
by
me,
the
though.
By the second period, I'm like ready to just scream at the refs. Yeah. I can't get past it. I don't know why. I'm trying to grow out of it, but it just won't go away.
You see the pinstripes and you see red. I get it.
Sorry. It's like the running of the Bulls. It's my Barcelona.
I'm going to the Sweet Home High School football game. That's my alma mater on Saturday at Brockport. And my girlfriend's coming with me. And I told her, I was just like, you're probably going to see a different side of me when it comes to it. Because I'm usually Bills games, I've been pretty good. Sabres, like you'll have those periodic jumps from me if there's a scoring chance. But like when I'm at the game and it's my alma mater who I absolutely love their high school football team, I get really, really, and especially because I think this team is the best team I've seen since I was a freshman.
Yeah, it's probably different too because it's like a childhood thing. Like I went to one of my high school soccer games that I haven't been to in like 5 years.
And you got rowdy
at like for homecoming weekend when because we have like an alumni game and it's super cool. So I got there a little early, watched the game, and I was like, why am I into this? I haven't watched these guys.
Yeah, right?
I don't know who any of these kids are. I've watched this game in 5 years. You know, like it's great.
You brought up the Sabres too. I will tell you, having now like working in here, and I mentioned like, I work with the Bills and stuff like that. It has gotten easier to just kind of like, I don't like somewhat disassociate. I can relax more. A lot of it is I'm covering them now. I'm not just a fan. I am covering the teams.
Right.
I don't have that with Texas. No. I am just a
you
fan.
You have no way to. To do that.
And I don't want to ever
work
for them. Like, I want to keep that separate. I've really enjoyed that. Like, I can just be a fan. But I think now, over the last few years, especially as they've gotten good, I've taken all of the stress of being a Bills fan and I've just been like, it's not all Texas.
Yeah.
Like, I still get excited. I still get hyped up when the Bills win, of course. But for me, it is now like the stress, the pacing around all of that is all on Texas. I typically watch those games alone.
The other thing that the other game that came to mind when it's like you find yourself getting into it just out of nowhere was Jack Eichel's first game back in Buffalo for me. Like I was going into that game and I'm like, you know what? He's on to better things. It'll be fine. And again, by like the second period, I was rowdy and ready to go.
I love that. I love how sports can do that.
It's an interesting, like, it's interesting how it affects people. And it affects everyone differently too. Like you could go in super hyped up for the game and then you're there and you're just like, eh.
Even look at this Kansas City game, how a lot the Bills fans,
both of us were very kind of just like, oh,
and there were others that were like, no, this is it,
when it came down to game time, like this time last week, I was still just kind of in the mindset of like, yeah, it'll be fun, whatever, it'll be a great game, because it was a great game regardless, like win or lose, those games are always good. But by Sunday at like 4,
are you ready to go?
I was like, nope, this is the playoffs. This is like,
here we go.
This is it. It also helps because, you know, like it's like when you watch it with people too, like it's different. And like, you know, we've tried to get away from this, but my girlfriend's niece is a Chiefs fan because of the playoff game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that'll happen.
So that was an interesting time watching the game with them.
Which playoff game?
This past one.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was
And also
be...
watching the quarterback series. That really got her into like, oh, Patrick Mahomes, nice guy, whatever.
I thought it was going to be 13 seconds. She was a Bills fan.
No.
And she's like,
no,
that ripped my heart out. I will pull
off
Kevin Durant.
She was a little too young for 13 seconds. But now she's getting a little older, getting more into like picking fan bases.
Oh, yeah.
She got a Mahomes jersey for Christmas last year.
That was maybe the one reason why I wanted Allen to do the quarterback thing, was just the idea of like younger fans.
Yeah, and growing your...
Gravitating towards... And not being from Buffalo. Having no attachments to Buffalo.
Yeah.
Being like, I'm a Bills fan now because I like that guy.
Yeah, right. Because I saw him on a TV show and he looked like a cool dude.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing that you... I feel like TV doesn't really do that anymore because of streaming services. Like, you used to have shows where every once in a while, like, almost like MTV Cribs in a way, where you just have, like, a random person on a show, and it's an athlete, and you're like, oh, That person was super chill on this reality TV
I
show.
I like them now.
I like them now. I don't even know. Oh, they play for the Saints? Cool. I guess I'm a Saints fan. Like, you know, it's like something weird like that happens. Like, I don't know. It's,
I mean, I've mentioned it too. Like, when I first got into football, I mean, I think me and you have the same story. It was the movie Invincible with Mark Wahlberg.
Yep.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, the Eagles are a thing. Okay. This is the movie that got me into football. I like the Eagles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it also just kind of worked because at the time when that movie, I think the movie came out in like 2006.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah. At the time, though, it was kind of right when the Bills 2000 Invincible. There's multiple Invincible.
Did you
movies,
get the 2021 one?
I got the superhero movie. Yeah.
2006.
Okay. Wow.
Also, Invincible that. TV show. Very good.
Yeah. Anyway, that's around the time when the Bills. There. That's around the time the Bills drought starts. So it's kind of like.
And we're
It's not that we're looking for a new team. But as a kid, you're kind of more impressionable. Like I just said with my girlfriend's niece, she's very impressionable with the whole quarterback show and, oh, the Bills lost to the Chiefs. Okay. You know,
I mean, crazy. It's super difficult for a kid to root for J.P. Lossman. Who could have known?
Yeah, go figure.
Who could have known?
My first ever Bills jersey was a J.P. Lossman jersey.
Well, it wasn't hard for you.
Well, I don't know how I was able to recover from that.
Yeah. You've gone through it.
I got good. The Bills are on the bye week this week. Obviously, as we've mentioned, the schedule though is not great.
Yeah,
this is a week.
There's no big matchup where you're like, oh, that's must see TV.
No, and we've all kind of mentioned too. Like, you're sort of hoping the Chiefs lose to the Panthers. Is that really what we're looking forward to watching? Is Chiefs Panthers? Not really.
We're not looking forward to it. We're looking forward to a miracle.
Potentially a miracle.
We are just hoping for a miracle.
But what are the other games here? I mean, you got Vikings, Bears. Bears are bad.
Bears are bad.
Lions, Colts.
Colts are bad.
Maybe. I mean, maybe you want to watch Anthony Richardson.
No,
but the Colts are,
no. The Lions are going to score 50 again, and we're all going to be terrified. Because every time they score 50, it gets more and more likely that, yep, they're just going to... They're going to be given the Super Bowl at the end of the regular season because they're going to score 50 in like six games.
Yep. Patriots, Dolphins. I am going to watch that game purely for the fact of, like, we were mentioning the first hour, are the Dolphins maybe going on a run? Or is Drake May kind of ascending into, he's a young quarterback. It's not that AFC's fans are talking about, but like NFL people around are just going like, yeah, they got their guy. Like, we talked a lot about Jaden Daniels. We talked a lot about Bo Nix, but the Patriots got their guy.
Yeah.
He's just on the worst team easily.
The next game on the schedule is must-see TV.
Buccaneers-Giants?
Yes. You know why?
Tommy DeVito.
Yeah! Tommy DeVito! Tommy Cutlets! He's back! Let's go!
Did you watch Daniel Jones with the media yesterday?
Yes. Interesting.
I give him a lot of credit for doing that.
Yeah, I do too.
I do.
He also played safety for their scout team yesterday.
Yeah, that seems to be a thing that happens whenever these guys are benched due to contract reasons, which I'm thrown by. Like, I got to imagine then there's something in their contract that says, like, unless I'm hurt, I have to practice for reps and stuff like that.
Could you imagine?
So they just throw him out and they're like, you're just going to stand in the backfield. Literally don't worry about anything else.
Could you imagine Daniel Jones lining up at safety on Sunday?
Let's go. Let's get after it.
Just a big lanky dude in the backfield.
I will say though, I give him a lot of credit.
Yeah.
His Giants career is over.
You're right.
Understandably, most people think it's ridiculous that they paid him the money they did. Even drafting him where they did was kind of lambasted right away.
I'm really excited.
But for him to step up in front of the media, I don't think when he had to either.
No, he just kind of did it.
And to do that, I was like, all right. Like, I don't want you to be my team starting quarterback. I wouldn't be against Daniel Jones being a backup.
That's where I'm interested to see where he goes. And one team that came to mind was the 49ers.
No, of course.
Because they always take bad backups or just bad quarterbacks and turn them into good backups.
They're like, we're going to make something of you.
Right. And if you think about it, they kind of need somebody anyway. But other than that, I don't really know where he goes. I don't know where he fits. I can't.
He should look for a backup job. It'll all materialize probably during the offseason.
Mm, yeah.
But I am rooting for him.
What if he pulls the Sam Darnold route where he kind of goes somewhere, sits for a little while, and then just boom, bursts onto the scene?
The difference is, I mean, he could totally do it, especially if, like you said, goes to San Francisco. The difference is Jones was a weird prospect, like immediately.
Mm-hmm.
He started out as a walk-on at Duke, wasn't particularly amazing at Duke. I mean, he's 6'5". He's a big guy.
Yeah.
He can move. I mean, we all kind of know that he can move. Didn't really have anything special. Darnold at USC was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
His one biggest issue was turnovers, but he was awesome. And then he went to a disaster that was the Jets. Then he had to sort of fix his career. I'd even still say, though, as fun as it was in the beginning of the year, the luster on Sam Darnold has somewhat worn off. I think he's going to get paid a lot because if you don't get Shedeur Sanders, you're likely looking at just kind of a big nothing burger in the draft. So he'll probably will get a lot of money in free agency because you'll have a likely idea of who you're going to be able to take. Still think the Giants are going to be there. But it could happen. It could totally happen. I think he's just going to be a solid backup, a lot like Mitch Trubisky.
Probably, yeah.
But as a Bills fan, I'd like them to move off of Mitch Trubisky. I've now seen what he can be in the preseason, and it hurts me.
Jameis Winston. Bring him here.
I want him starting games.
I want him as the vibes guy. Him and Mac Hollins on the same team. Come on.
He can do that at 35. Come on. Not right now.
No.
I want him starting games. He's still young enough where it still seems appropriate.
Fine.
I also could see Cleveland just riding this out with him too. Like going to next year and being like, you know what? The team loved him. It actually kind of worked for us. Let's go.
Yeah.
I could totally see it. I don't think it'd be the right move. But
two of their three wins are because of him.
And their wins against Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Yeah. It's not like they're beating like the Colts or
it's kind of interesting.
The Panthers.
Other games on the schedule, Cowboys, Commanders. It's not. Cowboys are bad. No, they're really bad.
You know what, though? This is one of those games where it's like, hey, if Jaden Daniels wants to be something, these are the games where you should win handily.
His numbers have dipped.
Right. And this is kind of a get-right game for him and for the Commanders. And if he wants to kind of make something of this year, I think that this is one where if the Commanders want to be legit, they have to blow out the Cowboys.
They sit now as a 10.5-point favorite. Vegas thinks they could blow them out. Chiefs, Panthers, we've already mentioned. And then Titans, Texans wraps up the 1 o'clock window. Really, again, no great game there. I'll probably be on Patriots, Dolphins, if I'm being honest, but I also have Red Zone. So there's a good chance I just go to that and we're like, we're just going to watch highlights today.
Yeah.
4 o'clock, Broncos, Raiders. No.
Nope.
I maybe want to watch that game just for
Brock Bowers.
No, I haven't really seen much of Bo Nix. I haven't really gotten to sit with the Broncos game at all this year, so I wouldn't be against that. 49ers, Packers could be good.
Maybe.
But Brock Purdy may not play.
49ers, though, watch it to scout them, kind of to see what you're going to see for the Bills next week. But even then, you don't know because Brock Purdy is kind of up and down with injuries. The whole team is up and down with injuries.
No, he has a shoulder injury. He was limited, kind of left early practice yesterday.
Mm-hmm. What's the status on Bosa? Because I heard at the end of the game...
He didn't practice yesterday.
Okay, because I heard at the end of the game he felt like he pushed himself too hard and he came off the field and then he came back on and then he left.
Yeah, him and Trent Williams did not practice yesterday. And then, Cardinals, Seahawks. That actually should be a good game. I like that one.
You know what? Early prediction. That's the game of the week.
I'd agree with that.
Of the whole week, are you counting Monday Night Football too there or no?
That's the game of Sunday.
That's the game of Sunday.
Monday Night Football, will be the game of the week.
Then Sunday Night Football, Eagles-Rams at SoFi Stadium. I'll watch that. That one's going to be good.
The last three games of the week, if you want to look at it this way, because Cardinals-Seahawks starts at the same time as 49ers-Packers, but
The 2:25 games, two Monday Night Football.
And the Sunday Night Football game.
What's what I'm saying? Two Monday Night Football. Just the rest of the games.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, right.
Those are the best games on the schedule. The 1 o'clock window's terrible.
100%. Yeah.
And this also doesn't help that you have six teams on the bye. The Bills obviously being one of them,
Bills, Falcons, Bengals, Saints, Jets, Jaguars. Actually, I don't really think everyone but the Bills, no one on that
tough
list.
Week for me for fantasy football. Because I had like half of my roster just is like
Bills play.
You know what's terrible? What's going to be terrible too? Thanksgiving games.
Yeah,
you were excited about Tommy DeVito, but the idea of Tommy DeVito versus Cooper Rush at 4 kind of hurts my soul.
That's actually kind of good.
Should have been a good game. Caleb Williams versus the Lions.
Yeah,
that has sort of devolved into whatever this is. And then Dolphins Packers Thursday at the night game.
In terms of affecting the good games, the bye doesn't really do that for me because the only good team listed there is the Bills. Like, if you put the Jets in instead of somebody else, or the Jaguars, or the Saints, or the Bengals, maybe the Falcons, but, like, the Bengals, Saints, and Jets, and Jaguars being off is kind of it's a service for the fans. Like, it's, thank you, get them off my TV screen.
Yeah. It's probably not right.
The Bengals are still kind of exciting.
No, they annoy me.
No, they're not. They're terrible.
Joe Burrow needs to stop.
I'm so tired of the Bengals. I like
watching Jamar Chase. That's what I
cool
say.
As they lose 41-30. I'm
because their defense stands there. Like, the defense is effectively pylons.
It's one of the worst units in football. Joe Burrow's numbers are awesome. Joe said it this morning, too. He's like 18 touchdowns, 2 picks, and losses this year.
Yeah.
For like 8 yards per attempt.
Trey Hendrickson's good.
He's one guy.
I know, but I'm just saying, he is good. The rest of the defense leaves him nothing.
They are a nothing team after being years of just, man, like, they freak me out. They're good. Yep,
they're on the rise.
Lou Amarillo is this
Amarillo.
Points allowed per game, 28th in the league, 27. They're allowing 27 points per game.
Yikes. There are teams that have done that once this year.
In terms of sacks as well, it really is just Trey Hendrickson. They have 19 this year. Good for 27th in the league.
How many does he have again? 11?
He has 11 and a half.
Wow.
It's him.
Yeah.
Him.
Mm-hmm.
And yet.
And he's a free agent, doesn't want to sign there.
And I don't even know if they will sign him.
And he doesn't want to sign there.
In terms of time of possession, they're ninth in the league. Third down efficiency, they're fifth in the league, 45.2%.
Joe Burrow is good, but the Bengals defense is terrible. As soon as he steps off the field, he has to go right back on because the Bengals defense lets up two plays and it's a touchdown.
Yep.
It's kind of frustrating if you're a Bengals fan, obviously, but if you're on the outside looking in, it's great.
Oh, yeah, outside looking in, it's awesome, but you can even see it in some of the other stats, too. Passing yards per game, first, 262.7. Rushing yards per game, 27th, 91.5. They're always behind. And finally, these slow starts got them. They started 0-3, they beat Carolina, cool, then they lost to Baltimore. They won two. Oh, against the Giants in Cleveland. Then they lost to Philadelphia. They beat Vegas, and then they lost to Baltimore and the Chargers. They're in these close games. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's partially because their quarterback is amazing.
They lost by 1 point to Kansas City.
They lost by 1 point to Kansas City. They lost by 5 to Washington. They lost by 3 to Baltimore.
I remember actually seeing the graphic where if you flip one-score games, the Bengals would be first in the AFC right now.
And you know what? Maybe next year, they'll have the whole where one score games flip. That defense is bad, though.
Right. But it's also.
Their quarterback is putting them in one score games.
I don't know how much next year changes things because the owner won't pay anybody. The owner won't go out and get someone. The owner won't keep people that are already there that are good. He just sits in this mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's. Again, I don't care because I want them to be bad.
Yeah.
But I also do care because of the. Like creating good product.
Well, yeah, I hate bad.
Looking
football.
As a fan of the sport. It's, I don't want to watch your team because they're bad. I don't care if you're playing the Chiefs. I don't care if you're playing the Ravens. I don't want to watch your team because your team is bad. I don't watch the game because your team is bad.
Another fun stat for them, too, talking about them always being behind. You know how we were talking about teams rushing first down percentage? The Bills are eighth at 38%. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia at 147.6. Bengals in 31st, 23.2%.
Speaking of the Bengals.
To be fair, who's their running back?
Chase Brown.
And Zach Moss.
Yep. Zach Moss is injured, though.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But still, why would you run it when you have Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase?
No, 100%. But you run it when you're ahead. You're killing clock.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They're never ahead.
Right.
They are always chasing games.
I always forget that's a factor that plays into those whole, like, when you run it and things like that. I just think of, it's because they don't have a good running back. But no,
they're always behind.
I get that.
803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here until 12 o'clock. Coming up next, after a quick timeout, though, we'll get a look at the weather for this weekend as Chief Meteorologist over at WGRZ, Patrick Hammer, joins the show. Listening to a Football Friday here on WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Break it down. Stop. Have a time.
Happy Friday, everybody. You know what that music means. We're going to get to Chief Meteorologist over at WGRZ, Patrick Hammer, here in just a moment. But we do have breaking news from just the last minute or so, and that is Giants quarterback Daniel Jones is no more. He is being released by the team. This according to basically now every insider in the NFL. So his time in New York is done.
The Giants even released a statement.
And the Giants now released a statement.
Okay. This is so stupid of them. He has an out at the end of this season, in the offseason, that would have taken his dead cap from $69 million to $22
million. For more on this, we go
to
Patrick.
What are they doing?
Hammer. Pat, how are we doing today?
You know, I just watched his press conference from, I guess it was it this morning or yesterday?
That was yesterday.
Okay, and, you know, I kind of felt for the guy. I don't know. I mean, he was honest. I mean, he is, what, 3-13 since inking his new deal. So, you know, you understand why they benched him. But I don't know. Now to hear that he's kicked to the curb, I don't know.
It's crazy.
I guess I feel for the guy.
Well, I am seeing this. Jordan Schultz, who's an NFL insider over at NFL on Fox, he said Jones asked for his release and the team is granting that after his benching.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, he says there's some great football ahead for him, and maybe he's right. Maybe just a new team, a new setting, you know, can enlighten him or provide a different, pathway for him to have success, you know. Just didn't happen there.
Yeah, no, it did not happen there, and which is a little surprising. It felt like Brian Daboll, the first year, at least was going to make the most out of it. Maybe not be super successful, but at least get the most out of it. And after that playoff win against Minnesota, it just kind of went right into the ground. But, Pat, yesterday we had our first snow game of the year. That was kind of cool.
You know, I think I personally love them. You know, optically on television, they just look great. It adds an element to the game, I think. I know for some they don't like it at all, but it reminds me of the our situation in 2017 against the Colts was so much worse. And sometimes sitting through that is no fun. But, yeah, Cleveland got some lake effect snow. It didn't start the game that way, but it turned to snow. And, yeah, it was a snow globe out there.
For us in Buffalo, though, I mean, we're on the bye week.
Yeah.
Games don't look great. How's the weather actually look, though, for this weekend in terms of, like, I don't know, maybe you want to go on a hike or something like that? I mean, I'm not a hiking person, but, you know.
I know. It's my family wants to take full advantage of a free Sunday because they're not very uncommon. So the weather this weekend, you know, okay, what you see today is not necessarily what you're going to get all weekend. But today, first of all, it's just going to be kind of miserable, just cloudy and showers and some snowflakes in the hills. That pretty much is the case the rest of the day. Tomorrow, some clouds, a little bit of light rain, not like today, just kind of a nuisance. So I know there's some sporting events going on. Tomorrow is not a washout, but there will be some light rain showers at times. Temperatures in the 40s. Sunday looks better. So if you want to go on a hike, it may be a little muddy from the recent rain, but, you know, whatever you want to do. You can't rule out a sprinkle or a light shower Sunday morning, but Sunday's the better day of the weekend. It's not going to be perfect, but the better day, the drier day.
So I don't know if people want me to bring up the S word, but how close are we to potentially having the latest snowfall ever in Buffalo? I mean, is it already passed or are we there yet?
Well, officially, if we do not see a snowflake by the end of the day tonight, this will be the latest start to our snow season in recorded history. Not measurable snow. We're just talking about first flakes, okay? So we've never had to wait to November 23rd to get our first flake. And given that we're not going to see any, we are going to set that new record for the latest snowflake observed at the, you know, the observation site at the airport. But the thing is we're going to now break it by a lot because we don't have any snow in the forecast anytime soon. So this is going to, there's a caveat, put an asterisk by that comment, by the way. This is going to, we're going to break the record probably by, you know, 5 or 6 days without any snow in the forecast for that long.
What about the rest of the country? I mean, we just mentioned Cleveland yesterday got a lot of snow, but it, obviously now we're waiting until almost December to get the first snow game. Is there any kind of spot in the country that might just be is going to get slammed? I know the Dakotas are often on a dime. It all of a sudden can just be Blizzard Wonderland over there.
Just geographically across the United States, there hasn't been a lot of snow. Now, I will say, the mountains of the West, from the Rockies to the Sierra to the Cascades, they've been getting slammed with heavy, heavy snow. But there just hasn't been a lot of cold air. So, yeah, there hasn't been a lot of snow across the country. We've had some today. If you are traveling east today towards Syracuse, Binghamton, those areas have had some snow today. But no, it's been kind of a tame start to the winter, at least from a snowfall aspect. There's been plenty of rain. In fact, kind of feeling for our friend Sal right now, who chose like the wettest storm in years in San Francisco, and that's where he is right now traveling. I wish he could have gone there a different weekend. But anyway, it's been relatively quiet. No snow in the forecast, but things are going to change around here.
Sadly, very, very sadly. How about next week? Do we have a little bit of an idea of like the Thanksgiving weekend or Thanksgiving week, I guess? Is that going to be still pretty good? Like you said, we're probably going to break the record in terms of snowfall, but is it going to kind of be like this where it's a little bit cruddy still?
So, no, our eyes are really focused on a weather pattern change that we see coming for the middle part of next week. So here's the deal. Monday night, another system comes at us, brings us some rain showers late Monday night into Tuesday. The southern tier will get some lake effect snow, we think, on Tuesday. The southern tier only, probably. A couple of inches possible, okay? It's after that we do get into a colder weather pattern and one that could get active. In fact, some of the charts that we're looking at are kind of hinting at a little something possibly for Thanksgiving. And following that, a delivery of much colder air that will set the stage for some opportunities for snow here. This is a week out, okay? So this is nothing that's like, you know, on our doorstep, but that's the direction we're going to end November to start December. It does look cold or colder, and it does look like there will be our first snows of the season kicking in. And it's very possible that there could be some on Thanksgiving, the way it looks right now, including, Thanksgiving, the turkey trot, and everything else. So we're setting up for an active weather pattern by the end of next week.
So not to jump one holiday to the next, but I did tell Zach yesterday that I set up my Christmas decorations. So I do have a question. I don't know if you have the full answer, but what are the odds of a white Christmas this year? I've seen that it's not a very good chance, but I was just curious, what's it looking like?
On average, it's a 50-50 chance historically here, okay? If you go back and look at all the Christmases since 1870-something, it's about 50-50. I think, given what's setting up for December, our chances of I got to get the forecast for today right, let alone something a month and a half away, or a month away. I think our chances for a white Christmas are looking up, in my opinion. Looking at just how things are evolving, a colder entry into December may not stay that way the whole month, but I think it's promising for a white Christmas leading up to Christmas Day.
All right, Pat, last thing for you here. Plans for the bye week? I think you mentioned there earlier that you might have like a full weekend playing with the family.
Yeah, I'm in college mode. I've got a daughter that is so we're all over the map. Let me tell you, if any parent goes through this, and I know your parents went through it with you when you left, it's an emotional time, okay? The idea of going to college is exciting and it's fun and the world opens up, but there is a major separation anxiety already kicking in for next fall. So the process is awesome. We're looking at a bunch of places in state, close by, And, you know, that's what we're doing this weekend. I think we're hitting like two or three.
I love it. I do miss doing that with my parents. Just going to different colleges, a lot of fun. But you're absolutely right. The separation anxiety does hit early. Pat, enjoy
the one thing I did do, which was a mistake, we went to this really nice school, and instead of showing her like the buildings she may study in, I pointed out where my fraternity, you know, not my actual fraternity because I didn't go there, but mm-hmm. Oh, there's the Beta Theta Pi house. Oh. And I'm thinking, okay, as a father, maybe I shouldn't be pointing that out. Maybe this is where your English class will be. This is where economics is taught. Instead, I'm like, ooh, there's Greek Row.
You'll get there. You'll get there. By the last visit, yeah. You'll be like, we're going to avoid all of this area and only show you this. It's a lot of fun,
exactly.
Though. Pat, enjoy your weekend, man. Thanks for jumping on with us, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, bye, guys.
That was Patrick Hammer there on the West Her Hotline, the chief meteorologist over at WGRZ. That is something I maybe miss most about college, was actually the pre going on visits and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and getting to see different universities. I spent a lot of time on UB's campus growing up, having season tickets to their football games and basketball games. But Josh, I even talked to you about it. Like, I'm going to a St. Bonaventure basketball game.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, still maybe my favorite campus I've been to in New York State, Austin, of course.
Well,
beating most, right. but was maybe my favorite.
Yeah, Bonnie's has a great campus.
It's beautiful.
It's in a nice little area too. Like, it's very secluded
in Olean. Yeah, yeah. It's absolutely gorgeous. So I'm going to the Bonnie's UB at Bonnie's game. It's December 6th or 7th. It's a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Conference championships in college football go on that day.
No,
hadn't known as I was getting the tickets, and I was driving to work yesterday, and I was like, I'll check that when I get in. But no, we're fine. Game starts at 4. SEC championship also starts at 4. So that is going to be an event for me to get through that. 803-0550, the number of the call. Sabres also in action tonight. Another Sabres after dark at 10 o'clock against Anaheim. We'll talk about that a little bit here as we preview Paul Hamilton and Brayton Wilson coming up at 12 o'clock. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we get you ready for Brayton Wilson and Paul Hamilton. We're going to be covering for Sabres Live today. Myself and Derek Kramer will be on from 1 to 3 covering for One Bills Live today as they are off for the Bills bye week. Sabres are in action tonight. A 10 p.m. pregame, or excuse me, 10 p.m. puck drop, 9 p.m. pregame as the Sabres play game number 2 of their Western road trip against Anaheim.
As much as I love Sabres After Dark, as soon as it starts, I want it to be over.
Well, because it takes forever for the puck to drop, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to be up for a while.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, it's going to throw off the next day, and it's like, ugh. At least tomorrow, they also play tomorrow in San Jose for Joe Thornton's number retirement.
That's right.
Yep. But at least tomorrow's 8 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
not 10:30.
With that being said, though, and Paul brought it up to us too, that one's going to be maybe a little bit of a screw up in terms of.
It's going to be an 8:30 puck drop.
If you, not that. If you wanted Lukanen to play both, it's going to be such a quick turnaround. Like, Reimer's almost. I mean, Reimer's likely going to play anyways with the back to back.
Yeah, play him tonight. Play him against the Ducks. Definitely. He was on the Ducks 2 weeks ago. Revenge game.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
game. Nah, come on.
I'd rather Reimer play against the worst team that is San Jose.
Yeah.
Anaheim's not much better. They're much closer to the Sabres in terms of overall points. But
right.
Now the hope for tonight, and nothing yet, obviously. We're maybe get more from morning skate later on in the afternoon here because it'll be morning over there. Really, really hoping for Tage Thompson tonight. I mean, really hoping for Tage Thompson tonight.
Yeah. I honestly wonder if he plays at all for the rest of the road trip, and he just plays next Wednesday.
He's been day-to-day, though. That's my one thing.
But do you want him to play? If you want him to play on the road trip, you play him on the second night of a back-to-back. You don't play him on the first night.
Oh, yeah, you don't play him on the first. Well, because like we were saying with goaltending, turnaround.
If he's 100%, then obviously play him both nights. But like, if you're not sure, then play him the second night.
I feel like that's why we've gotten here, is that they haven't been sure for a little while. Mm-hmm. Or they're just making sure.
Yeah. And it seems
the I's crossing the T's.
Aside from obviously Samuelson and Greenway, it seems like those are the only injuries right now. Is mm-hmm. Thompson, Greenway,
both week to week though? I believe.
Yeah,
I mean, Greenway. Samuelson,
I don't think Greenway even made the trip. I'm not sure.
With that being said, though, they were in a playoff spot yesterday. I haven't actually checked the standings today. I don't believe they are. They're not.
They're not. Boston won.
Has passed them. But that's the thing. I mean, you're right there. We've talked about it. The mainly Atlantic, but the Eastern Conference as a whole has really not it's not separated itself like years past. You have not having Tampa Bay, Toronto, Boston that just run away. Florida kind of with them. Carolina and the Met, obviously with them.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't really happened in terms of the wild card race especially. And then even in the top three spots, you have Toronto's at 26 points, Florida and Tampa. But you're at 19, Tampa's at 22. You can get them. And then the second wild card spot. No one really has taken up the mantle. Boston fired their head coach in Jim Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
This road trip is important, yes. It's also important, too. I don't know the exact numbers, but I've seen the number 80%. I don't know if it's true. I don't think it is. But like 80% of teams make the playoffs if they're in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And that's why this road trip feels so important. And you got potentially, arguably, the hardest win out of the way.
Right. Hopefully.
With L.A.
But it's also it's so unpredictable for tomorrow if Luukkonen doesn't play. Like, what is Reimer going to get?
Yeah, what are you going to even get in Reimer?
But at the same time, also, actually, tomorrow's another revenge game. Reimer played for San Jose.
Played so for everybody. It's
he's
fine.
He's played in the entire league because he's been in the league for like 15 years. But anyway, looking at just, you know, in terms of what these next 4 points mean,
mm-hmm.
obviously it's all West Coast teams. So it's not like you're giving points to a team that's trying to pass you. But it's also, these are the times, these are the wins that good playoff teams get. You go out there and you beat a lesser opponent or you beat an equal opponent. Because technically right now, Anaheim is about equal with the Sabres in terms of record. I think Anaheim's around 500. So
mm-hmm.
you have to kind of, this is where you start to separate.
Stacking wins.
This is where you start to, in years past, it's been, well, it's Anaheim. It's okay if they lose because, you know, sometimes that just happens. No. This is when you start to win because you're supposed to be a good team now. Just get it over with.
You're
go out there
to be a solid team.
And do it. Yeah, right. And if they win tonight, it'll be 6 of their last 7. They have wins.
And after that poor start, I mean, that looks really, really good. And,
yeah.
and honestly, after the poor start, it has been pretty good. It's just it's tough to grab onto them because they're about 500.
Right. And if you win tonight also, you're 3-1 in the 4 games that Tage Thompson's been out of the lineup if he doesn't play tonight.
Which would be huge.
That's incredible.
That's going to do it for me and Josh today. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. Coming up next after a quick timeout, Brayton Wilson and Paul Hamilton covering for Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR.